I'm not Brother Brian. He's Brother Brian. I'm Brother Zeke. He wanted me to say something to him. As he said, warm him up. Sorry, I'm nervous. I like what he said about the Middle East. Not only is it a literal war of the end times, but it's a spiritual war within our minds and our souls. And there's a phrase in the military that I've heard. You won't find an atheist in the trenches. You won't find an atheist in the trenches. For some reason, as humans and as people, when we get in bad times, suddenly we just, God, I need you now. Every time we come around, the check bounces, or a lot of things can happen. We get kicked out of our homes. There's that family member who just, we thought that they could pull through, and it hurts when they leave. God, I need you now. God is really real when we really, really need him. Right now, God, I need you. Nothing bad may happen, but I need you now. And today, I just wish that all of us could just say, nothing may be happening, but God, I need you now. I really need you now.
Good job. Come on, let's clap our hands to the Lord and thank him. These great fellers, Zeke and Landon, they get to travel with me quite a bit, for which I'm grateful. Sit down if you like to. Matter of fact, we have worked together around the world, so I am so grateful to have my boys with me in the presence of the Lord. Thank you to my friend and a sister friend, your pastor's wife, and their family. Aren't you grateful for them? Thank God for thinking of us and for inviting us to be a part. We are partnered with this great church and the church network here for revival, for spiritual awakening continually. And it is so wonderful to hear about and to watch what the Lord is doing. So to be able to be privileged to be here today, be here this weekend and be a part. Thank you for your hospitality. It's always so wonderful, and we always feel so great and so welcome. We have been places where we were not necessarily welcome. We got scheduled one time. It was a church network, and there wasn't a lot of good communication in the network. So one of the assistant executives who really liked me invited me, but then some of the other leadership executives didn't necessarily. And so it was kind of a weird situation. But we walked in to attend the meetings or whatever, and I thought we were at the wrong church. And so we finally figured out what was going on, and so we went on in and plowed through, and the Lord worked wonderfully. But it made me recognize you're not always welcome everywhere. But thank God we're welcome here. You make us feel like that anyway. So we're so grateful for that. What a great word, my friend, Pastor Dillingham. What a great word last night that just really impacted and awakened us to the reason that we are here. It was so great before the service, the leadership team members, or the most of them represented. We got a chance to kind of duck in there for a minute and pray together with them. Let me just say this. Loyalty can never be understated in a church organization, never, or in any organization if it's going to be successful. Loyalty brings unity, and they birth and in essence cause one another and affect one another. So it is so important. You think you're just kind of attending a meeting or part of a team, but that is not really what's happening there. The effect that loyalty has, that organizational loyalty and your language, your unified language, it affects the trajectory of the organization that can never be understated, especially Jesus said in the end time, there would be a generation. Now, he said marrying and giving in marriage. In other words, moving from one relationship to another, or not really accounting for the value of relationship. Okay? And it happens in our time, especially in this great capitalistic society. People are not loyal. They're just looking for what's easy and what's cheap. And so it's really hard to build organization in a generation that doesn't understand the value of loyalty. So I just wanted to share that with you, that you're being a part of this great church is not just an attended part, but it's an impacting part. And your attendance, your giving, your serving, everything, and being loyal to the cause of Christ is affecting this entire area. So thank you for that. And I want to encourage you to continue to serve the Lord as he does wonderful things. The Lord quickened me a minute ago just to maybe remind you or to speak it into the atmosphere. This will be, look around you, this will be the smallest this church will ever be. Physically, organizationally, spiritually, the Lord said, you let them know they have never even thought about or even begin to imagine where I am about to take this great church. So I think that's exciting when we think about the Lord being with us, or when Pastor gets up and passionately guides us and directs us. Listen, the bold things that we read about in the Word of God, or that other people have testified of and experienced, these are situations that are only accomplished by people who just forgot about their reservations and pressed forward anyhow. We were in a church 3.5-4 years ago. They had they brought us in for a faith series. And part of that faith series was that the church was needing to raise a lot of money real fast. I'm not a money raiser. And it makes preachers nervous sometimes to talk about money, but faith is a little bit easier. And so this particular church, the leader of the church came to me in the office and nervously said, now we have raised probably annually, our church is used to raising about $10,000. And we really work hard for that, and we sell stuff and kinfolk and whatever. You know, we just always working. And I said, well, that's wonderful. So he was really nervous. He said, I just wanted to let you know that that's kind of what we have raised. And so they had asked me, well, so Brother Brian, what do you feel today as far as what do you think we could raise? And the number that the Lord had given me was so different than what the elder had said. I was scared to say it. I said, well, I believe the Lord will be with us today. And they said, well, yeah, but what is that number? And I just said, let's just thank him for what he's about to do. And so he pressed and pressed. And as a finder, he said, well, what do you think it is? I said, well, let me say it's a lot bigger than what you just told me. And he said, well, we'd like to know what it is. And I said, well, it's over and above $180,000. And I thought we were going to have to pick him up off the floor. And he just kind of walked. He was pacing around in the boardroom there before the service. And he got real pale. And anyway, we got into the service and let God take over. And I will say this, before we left that afternoon, in that little old congregation, we had raised over $275,000. It actually went above $300,000 within the next couple of days. And I say that to say that when God engages the faith of people, and people just get crazy for him, it's not about money. It's a heart condition. It is a thankfulness condition. So I encourage you that as you pursue these great opportunities, it gets something in your hand to sacrifice and to give God of your life, of your abilities, of your finance, of your worship, of everything. Always get something in your hand and watch what the Lord will do, because I believe He's up to great things. Somebody shout amen. Amen. I want to turn your attention to the book of 1 Chronicles chapter 11. 1 Chronicles chapter 11. I want to minister in the subject for just a moment entitled Fearless. I'm asking the Lord to help us in 1 Chronicles chapter 11. Benaiah, this is verse number 22 I'll begin reading with, but Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, who was the son of a valiant man of Kabzeel, had done many great things. He killed two lion-like men of Moab. And then he went down and killed a lion in a pit on a snowy day. He killed an Egyptian of great stature. His spear was like a weaver's beam, and he went down and took the spear out of the Egyptian's hand and killed him with his own spear. He was a very powerful character. These things did Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, and was named among three other mighty men. Matter of fact, in a list of 30 mighty men, he was one of the most honorable among them. He made it to the top of the list. Fearless. Father, I'm asking you to overtake this house, overtake our weakness, overtake our frailty and our fear. I release you, God, to work in our midst. We believe, but help our unbelief. I dismiss every reservation, every idea planted by the adversary to try to torment or belittle or intimidate the work of God or the potential work of God in every child of God in this house. We dismiss the work of the adversary and we release the work of the cross in this house. We thank you, Lord, for what you're about to do. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Somebody shout to the Lord. Clap your hands to the Lord. Let's make the devil nervous. We're fixing to have church in here. Let's ask the Lord to help us today. Amen. Fearless. Sit down if you like to. Amazingly enough, over the last 5 years, the currency of prompting and motivation in the Western world has not been encouragement. It has not even been politics or finance, but the currency of motivation in the Western world over the last several years has been fear. Fear drove the entire world into lockdown 5 years ago. Fear. Now, I'm not dismissing that there was not disease, there was not sickness, but it was fear that drove people. It was fear that has driven the markets, the financial markets. It's fear that has driven the clinical and the scientific community. If you look at statistics over the last few years, as a matter of fact, social media is an issue now. The reason it's an issue is not because of communication, but it's because of what is being communicated. Fear is the motivating factor. It drives people. As a matter of fact, in a recent study over the last several months, that most successful media campaigns, most successful marketing campaigns are driven by fear. That lets us know that that is the communication core of the culture and the world in which we live in. And yet Jesus said, I am not the author of fear. I am not at the core of fear, but the adversary is at the core of fear. But I have watched, and you have too, as would-be righteous, conquering, powerful people have cowered to the spirit of the age. And we're afraid to say things because we don't want to offend people or stir up. And we're afraid to do things because we feel unqualified and we feel belittled. And we're afraid to activate and we're afraid to motivate. We're afraid to do anything for fear of failure and hell has got this generation right where it wants us until we proclaim a fearless generation that says not height, not depth, not power, not an angel or not any other creature will be able to separate me from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus my Lord. I'm talking about a generation. You know, there are church folk that are afraid to follow the deeper things of Christ because they're afraid of what their kinfolk might say. There are churches. I was preaching for a church one time. They didn't believe in the power of the Holy Ghost, but they were hungry for it. And one of their leaders invited us in. They were very excited, but then when things started to come undone, they got scared and said, you might tone it down a little bit. So I did. I lowered the octave and slowed my pace down and kept quoting the Word of God, and people were falling out, being healed, and being filled with the power of the Holy Ghost. But the leader, he got scared, and he left the service. He left because he said, I didn't want my elders to think that I was in agreement with what was going on. He left, and he got his wife up and said, we better go too. And 2 days later, in the public library, God filled him with the Holy Ghost sitting right there. But the amazing thing is, the spirit of fear drove and has driven so many people. There's people sitting under the sound of my voice right now that God has great things, but fear has gripped. Imagine this particular story in 1 Chronicles chapter 11, this Benaiah. Why is this story here? Why is this account recorded in such a quick snapshot? He was a great man. He was the son of a valiant man. He had done great things. He even whooped up a couple of lion-like men and whooped on them. And then it accounts this moment where he went down in a pit on a snowy day. Now, if it's snowing in my part of the world, I ain't going anywhere. For a couple of weeks, I'm not going anywhere, right? So this scripture let us know the environment was not conducive, and yet he went. He went in a pit. Everyone say a pit. The geography was not smooth or conducive, and yet he went. It's there to let us know that what put this guy at the top of the list was that despite the geography and despite the present situation and despite the weather or the climate or the culture, he went anyhow. That's why the story's there. And that's what it takes for people to see the power of God in their families and in their community, is people that will just get up and do it anyhow, instead of being afraid of failure, instead of being afraid of what other people think. His name, Benaiah, and especially at that time in human culture, people were not just named. The name had a deep meaning. And the name Benaiah, the prefix of the name, means to have been worked on or helped. The suffix of the name includes the same wordage that we hear Yahweh or Jehovah, Benaiah, meaning this one has been helped by God. That lets us know or indicates how he was so bold. He was helped by God. I think it would do something to our faith if we begin to realize we are not here of our own accord, but that God, matter of fact, one writer said, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, but they are new every morning. God helped him. That's how he did what he did. Not because he was tough. Not because he was related to tough folks in the family. What put him on the top of the list? God helped him. I think it would do something to our faith. I think it would do something to our personal boldness if we begin to recognize, if it wasn't for the Lord, I'd be nothing anyhow. I have no strength of my own. God did this. Anything good that ever happened to me, God did it. Anything good that ever happened in this church, God did it. Anything good that is ever done to me, God did it. And that does something to our boldness. We've got to understand that we are products, all of us, are products of the grace of God. We are products of the mercy of God. I don't care how talented you might be, in what area you might be talented, you are a product of the grace and the mercy of God. You'll never be more talented than He will be gracious to you. I don't care if you're raised in church and been in the church for 500 years, you'll never earn enough credit on those merits to earn the grace of God. We are products of God. Why am I here? Because He said I ought to be here. Otherwise, I have nothing of my own. This Benaya, a product of God, an admitted product of God, recognized the value of being fearless. God helped him. God delivered him. God declared him. God saved him. And that was the recognition of this that made him different than anyone else in his family. We are blood-bought children of the Most High God. He purchased us with His own blood. And that does nothing casual for me, but it makes me thankful. Benaiah was not strong in his own strength, but he was built, or God did it, or he was empowered by what God accomplished. Let me tell you something today. What God has done for the likes of you and I emboldens me to do something greater, greater than God has ever done in my generation. God prompted him to enter the pit on a snowy day, and I wonder what God is prompting you to do right now. God prompted him, lest he would forget, lest the world who read this scripture would forget, lest all would forget that in basic terms, God has accomplished a miracle in me. And if it wasn't for him, I wouldn't be here anyhow, so I ought to just shout. If it wasn't for him, I wouldn't be here anyhow, so I ought to just give. If it wasn't for him, I wouldn't be here anyhow, so I ought to just pray. It'll do something to your prayer life. I'm talking to a people. I'm prophesying into an atmosphere that the spirit of this world has intimidated some of y'all, and you've cowered down to the pressure, and you're getting worn out, and you're getting intimidated. I want to prophesy fearless into the atmosphere. When it comes to establishing great things in the kingdom of God, it doesn't take talent. It does not take credential. It does not even take lineage. It takes fearless. You read through this book that we call the Holy Scriptures and the Word of the Lord. Not one person God ever chose was qualified by credentials. Not by collegiate credentials, not by family credentials, but you read about people like Esther, who said, if I perish, I perish, but I'm going through to see the king. Fearless. You read about some 12-year-old boy who said, y'all can run for the hills if you want to, but I'm going to take this giant down. Fearless. Are y'all hearing me? Gideon wasn't nobody, but he pressed on a pathway and said, my family, they ain't nothing but west side of the track kind of folk, but an angel of the Lord said, you're a mighty man because you're keeping moving forward. I'm talking about fearless. I wonder what would happen over the next few moments if we fearlessly pressed into the presence of God. I wonder what gifts of God that He has been waiting to hand out to you. I wonder what prayer that God is getting ready to answer if we would fearless press into His presence. I don't care what time it is. I don't care who's sitting next to me. I don't care what the world may think about me. I'm pressing forward. Jesus said it like this. They thought John Baptist was a wild, crazy man. Matter of fact, that was the societal assessment of him. He was weird. Matter of fact, the only thing you really read about him is that he dressed funny and ate weird things. So this lets us know the overflow of information was that John was weird. And yet this weirdo had the attention of hundreds of thousands of religious leaders and community folk, and was the guy known for being down by the river hollering stuff out, including one day, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." See, revelation is reserved for fearless folks who aren't afraid to holler out when nobody else is hollering. He was fearless. He was the guy who walked up into the face of the greatest leader of that time, who was running around with his brother's wife, and put his finger in his face and said, "You know you ain't living right. And the girl you're hanging out with now, that's not even your wife." He was fearless and bold. Jesus told his disciples, because his disciples thought, "He's weird. This guy's different." And Jesus said the following: "Among those ever born of a woman, there is nothing or no one greater than John. And yet those who are the least in the kingdom of God are greater than him." Jesus said from the time that John came preaching, the kingdom of heaven has suffered violence. Hell has violently resisted the manifestation of the kingdom of God from the time that John came preaching. John's presence manifests this contradiction. John's forcefulness and fearlessness manifested and intimidated the powers of hell. Jesus said from the time that John came preaching, the kingdom of heaven has suffered violence, and yet the violent will take the kingdom by force. Not the passive, not the casual, not the little mousy, silent folks who are afraid to offend, but violent people, fearless people who say, "I am going to declare, I am going to possess what God has promised me concerning the kingdom, no matter what the world is doing. No matter who is saying." See, some of y'all, and look, I love you. You invite me back. I appreciate that. And I want to get invited back again. I don't intend to offend anybody, but I do intend on waking somebody up. And I want to tell you that sometime you get associated in relationship with people so closely that the enemy uses that to intimidate you from going further in God, because you don't want them to think you're weird. I got a revelation for you. With or without him, you're weird. We're different. We're unique. Matter of fact, the Apostle Peter said it. We are all peculiar. We're different. So you'll have to work real hard at not being that. And the harder you work at it, the more weird you become anyway. So you might as well reckon with the fact there's nobody else like me. Nobody more crazier than I am. No more different than I am. But I'm not going to allow the enemy to use that against me. I'm going to be fearless. Amen. I'm going to pray prayers that will not intimidate. Now, Pastor, we got invited to go preach a meeting a couple years ago at this particular place. And it was a church building. I won't say which church building, but it was a church building. And when the group heard about it weeks in advance, they went and cut the power to the complex so that when we got there, we'd have none. And so my intention, but it was really hot. We were in East Arkansas. It was like 120 in the building. And we had all these people lined up to come to the service. It was so hot in there. I thought, well, maybe we just ought to do something out in the parking lot. So the board and the leaders and the people from the section were there, and they were kind of making the determination, should we cancel the meeting because there's no air? And that's just dangerous to have people in that kind of heat with the worship and whatever have you. And this little old sis was in there, and she put her elbow in my side, and she said, "Brother Brian, who was the prophet Elijah?" And so I told her, and she said, "Do you reckon that that faith is still accessible to us?" She said, "You were preaching about it yesterday, weren't you?" "Yes, ma'am." She said, "I wonder what would happen if we just prayed right now." And I thought, I'm following her. So we started praying, and I mean praying. And somehow, while we were praying, she was doing the little march, and so I was walking behind her, and we're praying in the name of Jesus, and power came to that complex. Now, I'm telling you, one of the guys there, he said, I'll tell you what. He said, I'm not going to figure how that happened. I'm only going to thank the Lord that it happened. But he said, that was weird. But power came to that house, and so did the power of the Holy Ghost. And the rest is wonderful God history. But Jesus said, the violent, the fearless, take the kingdom by force. The fearless. I've been intimidated, and you have too, by the power of the enemy. He whispers to you and tells you you're not worthy and reminds you of failures that you'll make on a daily basis and tries to intimidate you. And I've been in prayer and had him. You know, he shows up at prayer meeting more faithful than us. And I've had him in prayer whispering, you're claiming all this great stuff. What if it doesn't happen? You're claiming this, and what if it never comes to pass? You talk about this healing and this deliverance, and what if, and what if. Have y'all ever heard him do that? What if it doesn't? What if it doesn't? And finally, I just got tired of it. Tired of not considering God potential. And tired of reading what God has done for other people and thought, why couldn't God do that for me? Why wouldn't God do that for me? And prophesied about, you know, when Jody and I got married, we had $2,500 collectively to our entire kingdom. That was it. Most of that was tied up in a vehicle that wouldn't run. And yet, we went on the mission field right after we were married, and somehow we made it. Some people said it was crazy, but God said it's faith. And the Lord did powerful things through it. And I heard about God doing things like he would provide for missionaries and pastors who would start a church, and that God would bless them with a home and with a vehicle. And we were broke down in Tallahassee, Florida. And I stayed an extra couple of days to preach because the vehicle wouldn't go anywhere anyway. And I heard about all these other great testimonies, and the enemy's whispering, yeah, you share all that mess and look at you. And God blessed other people with vehicles, and God has done this, and God has done that. Look at you. What if you keep talking like that? What if, what if, what if? I finally turned to the enemy in prayer. I talked to the devil in prayer. Sometimes you need to. Sometimes you need to address him because he's there. And I just got bold in the Holy Ghost and said, I am tired of you asking what if, what if, what if, what if. Seems like that's wordage you're afraid of. And so I have a question for you, enemy of my soul. What if what I am praying about is going to happen? What if what I believe comes to pass? What if I just choose to go forward anyhow? What if? Our vehicle barely made it to the next revival. Barely made it. And we stayed through the services at the revival, and one of the host families that night, and Jody and I hadn't even been married a year, and one of the host families said, we'd like to have y'all for lunch the next day. And we came, and at that luncheon, the ministry team got together and handed us the keys to a brand new vehicle. What if? What if? Are you hearing me? What if you got up today and prayed a prayer you've been afraid to pray because you've been afraid to fail? What if you said, I'm going to take that gift that God has promised me. I'm going to receive the Holy Ghost today. I don't care what my kinfolk think about me. I'm going to step out and get in that altar and pray until and I don't care what other people think. What if? Fearless, fearless, bold. It's time for the lion to arise. It's time for the lion generation to arise. The fearless generation to arise. I'm tired of passive church. Let me tell you, the most aggressive institution in the world ought to be the house of the living God. And I'll tell you why. First of all, we've got the shed blood of Jesus Christ on our side. And second of all, we've got angels beyond countless number that will fight for us and war for us and communicate for us. We are on the Lord's side, y'all, and He is on our side, fearless. Let me tell you something, gentlemen. Families aren't saved by little fellas who pray a 2-minute prayer once every other day and then wonder why all hell's coming loose in your household. I'm talking about fearless prayer warriors who rise in the morning and say, you better not touch my wife. You better not touch my kids. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We're going to live for Him. We're going to love Him. I said fearless. I wish I could get some Holy Ghost filled somebody. But we get afraid. The writer in the book of Proverbs said, the lazy person, the passive person says, oh, there might be a lion out there and I might get hurt. So instead, they just sit. What if, I mean, I don't want to hurt anybody. I don't want to offend anything. Something out there could hurt me, so I'm just going to sit here. That's what a lazy person does. That's what a slothful, easily intimidated individual. Matter of fact, the writer said again in Proverbs 28, wicked people run when there's nothing even chasing them. They're just constantly worried, ooh, what's going to happen? But the righteous are as bold as a lion. They are fearless, and they're not afraid. Hell's economy, hell's currency may be fear, but the kingdom of heaven is unafraid. Is it coincidental that Jesus said in the time of the end, men's hearts, strong men, their hearts will fail them for fear of hearing about. Now you talk about a wimp. They get scared just hearing about it. And you imagine it. And Jesus said to come a generation, they'll hear about it and be so scared they'll fall over dead. Just hearing about it, wars and rumors of wars, be so overcome that they quit having prayer meetings and exchange fervent prayer for petty suggestion because they're just afraid. Quit evangelizing and quit preaching so hard, preacher, and let's exchange that for petty suggestion so that nobody gets offended and nobody gets intimidated. Quit serving our other people and quit serving the community, and let's exchange that to serve the God of convenience, just completely giving up and completely giving way to the Spirit. Quit preaching for fear of offending, Pastor. Don't preach like that because I'm afraid it's going to affect our building fund, our building program. Their fear of doing all of these things. We're afraid to go broke. That's the spirit of the age, but it is not the spirit of the Holy Ghost filled child of God. It may be the spirit of the moment we live in, but it is not the spirit of a believer. I am not ashamed of the power of God, for it is the power of God unto me, the gospel. I wish I could get some Holy Ghost filled, hungry somebody. Said, I want this more than the next breath I'm breathing. I want to be fearless for the presence of God. Fearless for Him. I wish I could get some Holy Ghost folk just to shout for just a moment and thank Him. Fearless. You remember the occasion, we will recollect it soon in just a couple of weeks, the great time when Jesus rode into Jerusalem. And surprise, surprise, all the politicians gathered around. and thought, ooh, we could make this into a political event. And then, surprise, surprise, all of the traditional religious folk gathered around and said, oh, well, we could make this about us. And both of them were fussing and arguing because his followers started throwing down palm leaves and their coats in the road, crying out, Hosanna. And so they finally, imagine it, somebody complained. Didn't they do it? Brought a complaint. And let's extrapolate the complaint to modern vernacular. Okay? We read it in King James or New King James English, where they came to Jesus and asked, would you please ask them to hold their peace? So let's extrapolate it to modern language. Listen, I've got a family here. We're just not used to stuff like that. We're going to ask you to just kind of tone it down a little bit. My auntie's here, and she comes from such and such church. I'm going to ask you not to, you know, try to keep it down a little bit. Okay? And you can hear them, and they're going, would you tell, I know we have difference of opinion politically. If you don't mind, let's just keep it neutral. You can hear it. Jody has a wonderful aunt. She's a sweet lady. I probably told you the story. She's wonderful. She was actually the CEO of one of the larger companies, a Fortune 500 company here in America. Very astute lady. And I mean, if she walked into the building right now, you'd just want to stand at attention because she just has a very commanding presence. She came with us. She followed us to Florida and said, I want to come to she didn't say church service, but she called it the presentation. I want to come, and the church building wasn't even bigger than like this section right here, you know, just a little old home missions. But we were there in the district helping this home mission. She said, I'd like to come to that presentation tonight. And I thought, oh, Lord, have mercy. You know, like this, it was not going to be what I would consider to be a good presentation. I get there, and the pastor's like, we have no piano, we have no music, we have no nothing. And so I'm like, oh, that's so great. Because she had said, I love that Pentecostal music. So here she came, and I thought, oh, Lord. So I told Jody, go meet her in the parking lot and prepare her for what she's about to experience. So at least we could head it off at the pass, you know. But she was running late. And then somehow we missed it, and she got in the building. And so the pastor gets up. He's a wild man. He's from Louisiana. And the first thing he did, got in the pulpit and said, hey, we ain't got no music today, but we finna make our own. And he said, we'll beat against the wall for a drum beat, and we'll stomp our feet in the floor. And that's what they did, and shouted all over the place and high-fived each other and bucked and jumped and carried on. And I thought, oh, my God in heaven. And there she stood in the middle, and I know what she was thinking, you know, like, I should have brought my security detail. I should leave. And I'm just assuming all of these things until 2/3 of the way in the service, she sits down, and tears are streaming down her face. And the Spirit of the Lord said, I'm not afraid, are you? Oh, we had a time after that. I'm telling you. We make these, and so Jesus is headed into Jerusalem, and we make the occasion about us because we're afraid of what people think. And so Jesus took their complaint. Oh, you're scared. Okay, I got you. Well, let me tell you something. If these hold their peace, you see them rocks yonder there on the wall? If these hold their peace, see, these got a hold of something. They ain't afraid. But if for some reason they do, those rocks there will cry out in their place. Somebody's going to be fearless. Somebody's not going to be afraid. It might as well be me. It might as well be you. It might as well be this church. It might as well be your family. Somebody's going to be fearless. Somebody's going to be bold. Somebody's going to get the miracle. It might as well. Oh, somebody give God praise. Somebody give him a shout and thank him. I don't want to take too much time. And I don't want this to be a typical altar call. I know you do them. But I want to activate the hunger of your soul. Not just for you, but for your family. And over the next few moments, if you decide you're more hungry than you are afraid, just get up out of your seat and come in this altar and lift your hand and say, God, I'm ready to take this thing to the next level. I'm ready to take this thing to the next level. I heard the writer in the book of Hebrews. I'm talking about the persecuted church at one of the most violent times in the church's history, when they were pulling people in half and feeding them to lions, and they were killing their kinfolk right in front of them. The writer of the book of Hebrews said, we are not of those who draw back. We're not the kind of people that get scared and run and go back to an old life, but we believe unto the saving of the soul. We don't turn around and intimidate easily, but we keep moving forward. Let me tell you, people that make history, people like Paul, they were not casual people. Paul said things like, I fight the good fight of faith. He talked about pressing toward the mark. Not casual terms, but terms that were pressing and active and vile. I'm talking about fearless. He told the young Timothy, fight the good fight. Don't just stand there, but do something. Paul, the apostle, the great man that he was, that we read about. Scholars say that toward the end of his life, that he had been beaten so often and been through so much that he was a rather bent over and physically kind of worn out kind of looking individual. And yet one of the last accounts where he was not only held in prison but solitary confinement, chained to the wall. And chained to a wall where soldiers kept the outside of the door. And yet somehow was not afraid to turn to his friend there that was chained with him. Say, we could just sit here and be quiet, or we could just sing praises to God. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? I love the story where, y'all remember the story of the Hebrew boys, that they told the Hebrew boys that they needed to kind of change the way they were thinking and remove themselves from their worship of Jehovah God Almighty. And so the king made a commandment, when you hear the music and the sound, everybody is supposed to bow to the image. And these three young men did not bow to the image. Y'all remember the story. We miss a little line when they brought him into the courtroom and said, hey, you think you're better than everybody else? You think you've got something that nobody else had? There's rules to follow around here, boys. And when you heard the music, you did not bow. So we told you what's fixing to happen. And the king, matter of fact, was so upset because they disobeyed and made him look bad. He cranked the fire up 7 times harder than usual. And he took the men and had gathered these boys up. And they said, what do you have to say for yourself? And these boys said, we are not going to be careful about how we answer this. Now that's awesome. That's old English language translation, but it reads like this. We're not going to be politically correct in what we're about to say. We're not going to be careful in what we're about to say, but you can put us in the fire. We're not going to change. And our God will deliver us. And just in case you want to pull out the what if he doesn't, we're good for that too. Because even if he doesn't, we'd rather burn than to sit here and be victims of the world in which you are trying to suck us into. Fearless. Fearless. And let me tell you something. When you get that kind of fearless, it will activate the supernatural. Because I don't know what would have happened if they would have thought about it. But the moment they said, I'm going for it, a fourth man showed up in the fire. Are you hearing me? Are you hearing me? You activate the supernatural when you fearlessly go in after him. Now, some of y'all standing here today, maybe you've never had such an experience with God where he has filled you with the power of the Holy Ghost. Or maybe you have never experienced the deliverance that your soul is hungering after. But it is this fearless that will engage the supernatural of God in your life. If you will just say, I want this more than I'm worried about anything else going on around me. and you will pursue him, he will answer. He will answer. While we're standing here together in the altar area, I want you to lift your hands toward the heavens. This lifting of our hands will be our moment of surrender. I'm tired of living the way I've been trying to live. I am tired of the adversary intimidating the will of God for my church. I'm tired of the enemy of my soul intimidating the will of God for my life. My soul is hungry for more. God didn't let me walk in this building for just a little bit. God brought me here today because there's more for me. And I'm tired of taking just a little bit and trying to live off from it. So I'm lifting my hands in surrender. I'm tired of trying to figure this out. I'm tired of fighting. I'm tired of being overwhelmed. I lift my hands in surrender, and I'm making a profession right now. God, I give up. God, I give up. I can't do it. I cannot go any further. I cannot spend one more ounce of effort. God, I cannot do it. I need you. With your hands lifted, I want you to cry out to the Lord. And I want you to say something like that right now. God, I need you more than the next breath I breathe. God, I need you right now. The promises of God I left sitting from a few years ago because I've let some other stuff get in the way. God, I'm asking you right now. Redeem. I'm asking you right now, recollect. Forgive me, Lord. Forgive me, Lord. There have been times recently I should have made a move in faith. There have been times recently in my life I should have stood up and I didn't, God, and I'm asking you to forgive me. There have been times I've recollected my sins and let the adversary remind me of them, and I've used them as excuses for not being engaged in you. And God, I'm asking for you to forgive me right now. And while you're asking the Lord to forgive you, while you're asking the Lord to cleanse you, I want you to just open your mouth and make that a prayer for the next 45 seconds. I want you to just cry out to God. And while you're crying out to him, I want you to fix it in your mind some of the great things that you know the Lord has been wanting to do. He's been prompting you. He's been talking to you. I want you just to hear those things. And let it stir you. Let it awaken you. Just a couple more, just 20 more seconds. Come on, lift your voice to the Lord. If you're praying next to somebody that maybe they're not used to this, maybe they don't know how to pray, why don't you pray with them and help them and encourage them? Now I'm going to tell you something before we go into this next phase of our praying. You don't have to have it all figured out to receive your miracle. You don't have to have it all understood to receive the Holy Ghost. You don't have to have it all together in order to walk into what God has for you next. So don't weary yourself in trying to figure it all out. But what you do have to have is just faith that says, I hear your word, God, today, and I want to respond to your word. Now, the first thing you need to know about the word of the Lord is this, that while you're calling on me, I have already answered you, and I am faithful and just to cleanse you and forgive you from all unrighteousness. So right now, while you've been praying, I want to let you know that God has already dismissed everything that would have been a failure, everything that would have been a fault, everything that would have been your destroyer. God has just dismissed it. So I want you to thank him for that right now. I want you to say thank you.
you, God, that you have helped me right now today. I want to say thank you, God, for your deliverance. You're helping my mind. You're helping my life. You're giving me power to move forward. Anybody ready for your miracle? Now, here's what I want you to do. I want you to join with somebody that's near you in prayer. Somehow connect with them. And I want you to lift your voice together and pray over them that God would give them the desire of their soul. I want you to pray with somebody and allow God, if you need to be filled with the power of the Holy Ghost, what I want you to do is say, thank you, God, for your spirit that is for me, for your desire to fill me, for your desire for me to live and overcome in life full of the power of your presence. Somebody else today, deliverance is yours. And God intends for you to live in deliverance. And what I want you to do right now is pray with somebody and say, thank you, God, for setting them free. Thank you, God, for your deliverance. Thank you, God. Maybe you need a healing in your body. I want some fearless prayer warriors right now. I want to raise it up to the next level. I want you to lift your hands and lift your voice and say, God, I'm right here right now. And I've never been more desperate and more ready for a miracle. That's it. That's it. That's it. That's it. That's it. That's it. Come on. Let's be bold. Let's press in. Come on, somebody. Don't stop. You're right on the edge. You're about to receive your miracle. Be bold. Be fearless. I want you to start praying like you have never thought you'd pray before. I want you to start entertaining the presence of God like you've never done it before. I want you to be bold. Be bold. Shout to the Lord. Maybe worship. Clap your hand. Do something that you thought you'd never do before. Be bold and press your way in. In Jesus' name, let there be deliverance, God. In Jesus' name, let there be healing. God. Altar workers, ministers, would you pray with somebody right now? The miraculous of God is being released into the atmosphere. Would you pray with somebody boldly? God wants to work miracles over the next few moments. Don't stop praying. Don't let down. Get with somebody that's going to do some business right now. Get with somebody that knows how to pray and don't back down. We need some fearless prayer warriors. We need some Holy Ghost-filled prayer warriors. We need some people that are not intimidated. That's right. That's right. Come on. Come on.
The enemy has been defeated, and death couldn't hold you down. We're gonna lift our voice in victory. We're gonna make your praises loud. The enemy has been defeated, and death couldn't hold you down. We're gonna lift our voice in victory. We're gonna make your praises loud. The enemy has been defeated, and death couldn't hold you down. We're gonna lift our voice in victory. We're gonna make your praises loud. The enemy has been defeated, death couldn't hold you down. We're gonna lift. lift your name up. Shout out to God with the voice of triumph. Shout out to God with the voice of praise. Shout out to God with the voice of triumph. We lift your name up. We lift your name up. Has been defeated. Death couldn't hold you down. We're gonna lift our voice in victory. We're gonna make your praises loud. The enemy has been defeated. Death couldn't hold you down. We're gonna lift our voice in victory. We're gonna make your praises
loud. Oh yes.
The enemy has been defeated. Death couldn't hold you down. We're gonna lift our voice in victory. We're gonna make your praises loud.
The enemy has been defeated. And death couldn't hold you down.
We're gonna lift our voice in victory. We're gonna make your praises loud.
We shout.
Shout out to God with the voice of triumph. Shout out to God with the voice of praise. Shout out to God with the voice of triumph. We lift your name up. We lift your name up. Shout out to God with the voice of triumph. Shout out to God with the voice of praise. Shout out to God with the voice of triumph. We lift your name up. We lift your name up.
We are in a transformative environment. Miracles are happening. People are accessing things, and we cannot stop. This is not a one-time happened in church service situation. This is the new way you pray. This is the new way you worship. Let me tell you something. If you are in this building today and you have not been born again according to the word of the Lord, there was a time where the Apostle Paul came to some religious folks, but they had not been born again. And the Apostle Paul, talking to them about the Lord, said, should any of you resist the waters? Should any of you be afraid of this? And they consented to baptism, the baptism of Jesus, fearlessly, boldly. One time the Apostle Peter was preaching. While he was preaching, there were religious people. The Holy Ghost fell on them. And the Apostle Peter, same thing, said, should any of these forbid water? Should any of them be afraid? Fearless, boldless, they went and consented to baptism. Why? Because that's how we're brought into identification with Jesus. Not everybody's a child of God. You got to be born to be a baby. That's why Jesus said, you must be born again. You must be born. We're all God's creation, but we're not His children until we've been born. And so the Spirit of the Lord is calling us today. I wonder who Fearless would say, you know what? I need to be born again. I want to be baptized in the name of Jesus and have my sins washed away and be identified in covenant with Him. And I'm not afraid of what people might think. I'm not intimidated what the world might think. I want it. I want it. I want it. This is a new way of doing things. We're not going to talk about it and then just leave it back to, well, that was a good service a couple of weeks ago. Fearless. Everything I do, I'm going to give fearless. I'm going to worship fearless. I'm going to serve fearless. I'm going to obey fearless. I am pressing it. I wish I could get just two or three people to go with me in it. How many of y'all feel fearless? I want you to take the next 3 minutes, and all over this house, I want you to worship God fearlessly. I want you to make a bold declaration. I don't know how you do it individually, but do something that makes a declaration. I am not going to be anything different than fearless from now on. All over this house, I want you to take the next few moments, and I want somebody to shout to God. Let's worship Him. Let's engage our faith.
Been defeated. death couldn't hold you down. We're gonna lift our voice in victory. We're gonna make your praises loud. The enemy has been defeated. Death couldn't hold you down. We're gonna lift our voice in victory. We're gonna make your praises loud. The enemy has been defeated. Death couldn't hold you down. We're gonna lift our voice in victory. We're gonna make your praises loud. The enemy has been defeated. Couldn't hold you down. We're gonna lift our voice in victory. We're gonna make your praise.
Yes, we shout.
Shout out to God with the voice of triumph. Shout out to God with the voice of praise. Shout out to God with the voice of triumph. We lift your name up. We lift your name up. Shout out to God with the voice of triumph. Shout out to God with the voice of praise. Shout out to God with the voice of triumph. We lift your name up. We lift your name up.
Oh, we praise you, Jesus. Oh, yes, we shout.
Shout out to God with the voice of triumph. Shout out to God with the voice of praise. Shout out to God with the voice of triumph. We lift your name up. We lift your name up. Shout out to God with the voice of triumph. Shout out to God with the voice of praise. Shout out to God with the voice of triumph. We lift your name up. We lift your name up.
Close a little differently today, and we've done this over the years. We haven't done it in a while, but here's what we're going to do. We're going to do two things. Number one, everybody here that's a licensed minister, I'd like them to come up right to the front here, if you would, and then we've got a couple men that they're not licensed, but they certainly operate in ministry. I want them to come as well, and here's what we're going to do. We're going to sing this next song, and if you don't want to participate, you don't have to. We're going to march around the sanctuary. And as we do, as we pass by, I want all of our ministers, I want them to stretch your hands forward. They don't have to, I don't want them to slap you in the head or any of that stuff. Maybe just put your hand on your shoulder as you walk by and just pray for every person as they come by. But as you march, now listen, if you don't want to march, you want to sit, you go sit. But as you march, I want you to proclaim not only liberty, but proclaim boldness. I've always found it interesting that God did so much throughout the wilderness, but when they got into Jericho, there was one final test, and it was this: you won't win your single greatest battle with weapons or with men, but you're going to win it by faith and by obedience. And that's how Jericho was won. And so I want us. Can you kind of line up right now? If you're going to participate, line up, and I like you guys to line up right along the front here. Brother Chris, you coming with us? Help us out today. We need your help. Who else am I looking for? Matthew, you can come on up. Chris, you can come on up too. Did a good job praying today. Colin, where you at? Looking. So I want us to, they're going to sing this song. And here's what I want you to do. I want you to just march around these outside aisles right there. And I want you to march. I want you to sing. I want you to proclaim. And when you come through here, we're going to pray for you. We're going to lay hands on you. We'll touch your shoulder. We're not going to whatever. And we'll let God do what God does. Can you say amen? Why don't you line up? Why don't you go and get yourself in a circle? We're going to start right on this side, and we're going to go this way. Pastor Tyler, you guys can get ready to sing for us. Brother Drone, if you want, why don't you take a cordless, start right over here, and we're going to start marching this way. Just start right here. Brother Drone, once you come down, you can sing down here. Take a cordless mic here, and you can sing and you can pray at the same time. All right, come on. I want you to do that right now. Let's go. I want you to proclaim. I want you to boldly proclaim. Come on. I want you to make sure you do it as you're marching. Boldly proclaim. This will be a year of liberty. This will be a year of boldness. Talk to the Lord as you march on by.
Well, I'm going to the enemy's camp. I'm gonna take back what he stole from me. I'm going to the enemy's camp. And to declare my victory, I want them under my feet, under my feet, under my feet, under my feet, and I'm claiming my victory. Oh, yes, I am. Well, I'm going to the enemy's camp. I'm gonna take back what he stole from me. I'm going to the enemy's camp. To declare my victory, I want them under my feet, under my feet, under my feet, under my feet, and I'm claiming my victory.
All right, just stand where you're at right there. Just stand and let's just worship the Lord. There's not enough room. That's all right. Just
I'm gonna take back what he stole from me. I'm going to the enemy's camp. To declare my victory, I want them under my feet, under my feet, under my feet, under my feet, and I'm claiming my victory. Oh, yes, I am. I'm going to the enemy's camp. I'm gonna take back what he stole from me. I'm going to the enemy's camp. To declare my victory, I want them under my feet, under my feet, under my feet, under my feet,
and I'm claiming my victory. I'm going to
the enemy's camp. I'm gonna take back what he stole from me. I'm going to the enemy's camp. To declare my victory, I want them under my feet, under my feet, under my feet,
under my feet, and I'm claiming my victory.
Oh, yes, I am. Well, I'm going to the enemy's camp. I'm gonna take back what he stole from me. I'm going to the enemy's camp.
To declare my victory, I put them under my feet,
under my feet, under my feet,
under my feet,
and I'm claiming my victory.
Yes, I am. I'm going to the enemy's camp.
I'm gonna take back what he stole from me. I'm going to the enemy's camp. To declare my victory, I want them under my feet, under my feet, under my feet, under my feet,
and I'm claiming my victory.
Oh yes, Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh yes, we worship the Lord. Yes.
All right, come on. I know we got stuck in bottleneck, but that's a good problem. Let's just take another minute.
Everything's gonna be all right.
Do you you believe what you heard preached today? Do you believe that God is greater? Come on, somebody. I know you're hot. We'll be done in a couple minutes. Let's just give God praise a couple more minutes. Hallelujah.
Be all right. Be all right. Be all right.
I've got a feeling everything's gonna be all right. Oh,
I've got a feeling everything's gonna be all right.
Oh, I've got a feeling everything's gonna be all right.
Be all right, be all right, be all right.
Oh, I've got a feeling everything's gonna be all right.
Oh, I've got a feeling
everything's gonna be all right. Oh, I've got a feeling everything's gonna be all right. Be all right, be all right, be all right.
I've got a feeling
everything's gonna be all right. I've got a feeling everything's gonna be all right.
I've got a feeling
everything's gonna be all right. Be all right, be all right,
be all right. Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost, set it.
Everything's gonna be all right. Oh,
Holy Ghost said it. Everything's gonna be all right. Be all right.
Be all right. Be all right.
Oh, Holy Ghost said it. Everything's gonna be all right.
Oh, Holy Ghost said it. Everything's gonna be all right. Oh, Holy Ghost said it. Everything's gonna be all right. Be all right. Be all right. Be all right.
And be all right.
Be all right. Be all right.
Yes, be all right.
Be all right. Be all right. Be all right. Come on, can we give the Lord some praise right now? Come on, can we lift our hands and just worship the Lord? Lord, we're so thankful for the word that we heard this morning. I praise you. I worship you, Lord. I pray this word doesn't leave our hearts or our minds this evening, Lord. But Lord, that we would leave this place on fire for you, emboldened, God, fearless, God, to preach your word, to teach your word, and to go out into the world and be salt and light in the world that we live in. In Jesus' name we pray. I don't know about you, but I love revival. But revival doesn't have to stop just because Sunday's over. Amen. If there's any new people, make sure you greet them. Make sure you make them feel home. But why don't we go into this week fearfully and wonderfully made and go out there preaching the word and teaching people about Jesus' love. Amen. Amen. Let's just clap our hands to the Lord as we dismiss.